when you have to go through challenging times or make difficult decisions as you have, how do you approach them? How do you approach them together?
Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now back to the show.
Rob Kessler is an accomplished inventor and entrepreneur who has made a name for himself in several different industries. He is best known as the co-founder of Million Dollar Collar, a product that solves the common problem of dress shirt placket's sagging, wrinkling, and folding. Additionally, he has started his own dress shirt line called Go Tyless and a luxury charter business with his wife, Linda. This business grew to over $800,000 in revenue in 4 years, thanks to Linda's organizational skills, focus on details, and creativity. They catered to athletes, celebrities, and business executives such as Beyonce, Pauly Shore, and Ron White on the luxury charter vessel named Bella. Before his success with Million Dollar Collar, Rob built a screen printing and embroidery business called Nude, which eventually grew to over $1 million in revenue. Linda Kessler is an accomplished Hollywood stuntwoman and a passionate fitness enthusiast. She has lent her skills to over 70 TV shows and films, including serving as Taylor Swift's double in several music videos. Her husband inspired her to pursue certification as a personal trainer, and after college, she started a workout program in a nearby park by her home. Get ready to ride the wave of inspiration with these two unstoppable business gurus who have weathered every storm that life could throw their way. Discover how they've crafted the ultimate power couple dynamic by finding a way to seamlessly blend their business and love lives into one grand adventure.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. We are excited to be joined by a power couple just south of us from Atlanta, Georgia. We have Rob and Linda Kessler joining us today for the interview. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm excellent. It's, gosh, spring has sprung. It was scaring us a little while with some 40s in the morning, but spring is here, and I know summer's on its heels, so you can see a beautiful, that is not a green screen behind us. That's those are real trees here in our Airstream trailer that we named Phoenix, and this is where we do all of our podcast interviews, and I see some cool stuff that I know we'll learn behind you guys, but I'd love to start off with this question. And Linda, I'm going to ask if you'd start, I would love to know, what do you think makes you and Rob a kick-ass couple?
It's pretty unique that most couples, they go to work during the day at different locations and they come back together. And Rob and I actually spend better part of our entire lives together. So that would either make you want to kill each other or love each other. And it really works for us to be able to work on different projects and spend so much time together.
That's great. So yeah, you get to do it all together. So there must be some love underneath all that time, I think, that allows you to do that.
Yeah, there has to be some navigating those waters, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Rob, what do you think makes the two of you a kick-ass couple?
I really always talk about our balance. You know, the things that I'm weak at, she's very strong at, and vice versa. And so we really play off each other in that way and just kind of know that if I can't do something, she's going to be there to help out or the other way around.
Right. So what I hear you saying is you guys complement each other well and make up for each other's shortcomings. That's a good place to be.
Yeah, it wouldn't be very fun if we were with the person that was exactly like us. So learning, how to gain from strengths and weaknesses, that's really big in a relationship. I want to go a little bit backward with both of you, and that is to talk a little bit about our histories, because we bring a lot of our history and what was modeled to us when we were younger into our relationships. Sometimes it's positive and sometimes it's traumatic or negative. And so, Rob, I'd love to hear from you first. What did love look like in your household when you were growing up? How was it modeled for you?
I wouldn't say it was a broken home, but, you know, my parents got divorced when I was in fourth grade. My dad is a very brilliant entrepreneur, businessman. And so his main focus was the business. So we didn't have the best relationship growing up, but my mom, who got basically nothing out of the divorce, lived across town, worked three jobs. She always found time to spend with me. Like, she'd come on Wednesday nights, pick up either me or my brother to spend just one extra night with us. And so I got a lot of love from her and just that, you know, personal touch and just like, you know, interaction. My dad was kind of, you know, the authoritarian, and you know, I was messing around after school and getting in trouble. And so he would be the one to come home and drop the hammer. So, we kind of butt heads a lot, but we're all really close right now. My dad actually just took the entire family, including my mom and her new husband, on a cruise not too long ago. So it was 20 of us together. And so the family's really tight now, which is great.
That's progress, and that has to make you feel really good. So it sounds like most of your nurturing and most of love being modeled for you in a positive way really came from your mom and not necessarily your dad when you were younger.
Yeah, it was pretty much lectures every night when he got home from work. So whatever I had done that day to get out of line. So he had some pretty tough rules, though. It was nobody in, nobody out was his rule when he wasn't home or my stepmom wasn't there. So it was just me and my brother and my stepsister. So we got into a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we always seem to find that trouble, even if it's within the walls of our own home.
My brother and I had an RC truck, and we thought, let's light these Q-tips on fire and drive the RC truck around the basement. And then we almost burned the house down.
Yeah, so you had some adventures, it sounds like.
How about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Whoopsie.
Yes. Linda, how about for you? What did love look like in your household when you were a child, when you were growing up?
Wonderful. My parents were still together, and I don't know, everything was super supportive, and A+ gold stars from my mom to me for everything. And they're very good sounding board. My dad was a huge, I can do, I can fix it thing. And it's just my sister and I, and growing up kind of like a tomboy. And it was like kind of best of both worlds of like being able to like work and do things with my dad and play basketball and stuff in the yard, and then do plays and girly things with my mom. So I don't know, I had a really good upbringing, and it's nice my parents are still together.
Yeah, sounds like that was a real blessing for you. And yeah. How did they show love to each other? How did they demonstrate that love?
Oh, terrible singing together. Lots of singing songs together and playing games. They play Yahtzee, or they, cribbage? Is that the one, wooden board? Cribbage? They always played games together. So if it wasn't with us doing like a family game of horse, playing basketball, it was games together, boating together. They did a lot of like fun recreational things with the swimming, snorkeling, all that kind of stuff. So they like to play.
That's great. So you had a lot of fun, it sounds like, in your family with your parents.
Yeah.
And then they led in that and certainly modeled that for you guys.
Yeah.
So we have kind of 14 pillars we like to talk about. We always focus on the three C's, which we think are foundational to the qualities that have to be strongly demonstrated in a relationship for it to be successful. And the first of those C's is commitment. And so, Rob, I'd love to say, what do you think, or tell me what commitment looks like in your relationship with Linda?
I knew that whenever I got married, that it was going to be the one time, you know, watching my parents get divorced and how rough that was. And before Linda, I dated a few girls and wasn't always faithful. I was never faithful, actually. except for my very first girlfriend. But I knew that when I made that commitment, when I found somebody, that it was going to be it. And when I met her, you know, I did my normal, let's see what I can get away with stuff. And she was like, nope. And I'm like, ooh, this girl's, she's got it going on. So I just, to me, it's always being there for her, supporting, and being faithful.
Great. Love that. How about you, Linda? How do you see commitment show up in your relationship with Rob?
If I want to build a life with someone and have the security that all the things that I'm doing and building, and I don't want to like ruin it, I have to have an example myself. So how I treat him, the things that I say and the things I do, is basically treat someone like you want to be treated. I just won't take any crap. Like he said, like if you're going to do something else, like he's that, well, to my knowledge, you never did any like testing the water kind of things. You're always there. But it's like, I just have like a standard of like, I know my worth and I know how I want to be treated. So I'm going to treat someone else the same way and commit to building the life and respect, communication, put thoughts and minds of plans together instead of like the me mentality.
I love how you look to yourself first. You ask yourself the questions, what would I want? What would I expect? Because I really believe that's where it all starts from, right? You have to know what you want, what you expect, and then look to do those same things, right? But also look to receive those from your partner.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful example. And, you know, we can never get more from a relationship than we're willing to bring. And I think it sounds like you had that figured out. And I think Rob even alluded to it, like, ooh, you know, none of this shenanigans, it's not going to fly with her. So if I want this one, I've got to fly straight. So it sounds like he had a good understanding of it as well.
Well, so the two of you, I want to talk about the next pillar, which is communication, part of the three C's. And it sounds like you're together a lot. So you're communicating, you're talking. But how are you really communicating with each other? How are you staying emotionally connected with each other? And either one of you can take that question.
I'll go. The smallest, simplest things are the best. It's not the big grand gestures. It's not the big things once in a while. It's the little things every day. And I'll tell you what, whether we are enough, like angry at each other or things are great, every single day at 11:11, we send each other an emoji, like a kiss emoji or I love you. And if we're together, we always give each other a kiss. It's just like there's a strong pull that we do those little things. He'll get me flowers because it's a Wednesday. He's never once given me flowers as an apology. It's always been flowers associated with, hey, it's a good day, I love you. Like it's the small things that really make a difference in our communication of like, that aren't always verbal. I think it's just them being there in other ways.
Are you tired of feeling like you're living with a roommate instead of a lover? Do you miss the days when you were completely into each other, intellectually, emotionally, and physically? The truth is, many couples are struggling behind closed doors. Putting on a brave face for the rest of the world is exhausting. If you want to get back your joy, return to thriving, and take pleasure in your marriage, then Kick-Ass Couples Coaching and Matthew P. Hoffman are here to help. Join us alone or with your partner and start taking steps towards overcoming the pain-filled obstacles and improving your relationship right now. For a limited time, we're offering a free relationship assessment call. Go to MatthewPHoffman.com/coaching to book your free call now, so you can start making real changes in your most important relationship today.
Yeah, how about for you, Rob?
I'm working on it. I'm not the best communicator when it matters. But, you know, we really try to talk through things. I mean, we know that we're each other's support and that we're going to spend 90% of our time together. So, you know, we're both very stubborn. And so sometimes the communication, we're saying the exact same mm-hmm. thing to each other and we are, mm-hmm. neither of us are hearing it. Yeah. So yeah, we really butt heads, but, you know, we always kind of circle back and get it together and straighten things out and we're stronger for it.
I'm a pusher. I hate the silence. Yeah. I'm a pusher. He's a silence person. So the communication styles are completely different. And I think it's interesting because he can be fine shutting down, walking away. And I'm like, no, we have to talk about it. You know, so it's like, we know it's been together 13 years and we know each other's communication style. So that's why I'm like, some of the little things in between, like that are nonverbal, really help us out because we are so different in our communication style.
Yeah. And I think understanding and knowing those styles, people don't realize it, but we all have a particular way that we like to communicate and the way we like to be communicated with. And so I think really having an understanding of what those are is important in a relationship.
It is. And I liked what you said. It's the small things. And there's a expression we throw around a lot. It's called small things often. And when you're really focused on the details, paying attention and doing those small things, it's an investment in the relationship. It's an investment in the emotional bank account. And if you continue to do that, that, you know, as you know, the more you invest over time, the returns are huge. And it's when you forget that or you take somebody for granted and you're not making those deposits, you're not having that quality communication that you can, you know, get in danger of, you know, a fracture or a breakup or, you know, just a dust up that has a huge impact because you're a little overdrawn in that account. And so, you know, I'd like to you guys to both think about, when has there been a time in your relationship where one of you screwed up, made a mistake or really stepped in it and it didn't go well for the relationship? What happened? And then how did the two of you navigate that and come out on top?
That's pretty daily for me. I think I do stumble.
Oh, stop.
There really hasn't been like big. No. I mean, of all this stuff we've done,
it's pretty trivial.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's enough respect in our relationship that put it this way. I think the worst case scenario is this last week. I feel like you've been picking on me and it's been eating up and blah, blah, blah. But really it's like the other person has some shit going on and it just, everything feels. And that's the thing with any of a blow up is tiny little things adding up that are really trivial.
Yeah.
So, and then we have a little like, I'm frustrated moment. And then we have the cool down period and then come back and talk about it. And then we kind of talk in circles of saying the exact same thing, like you just said before. And then we just like, okay, are we done with this? And then we move on. But unfortunately, we haven't had in the 13 years anything huge because of the respect on the day to day.
So tell me, I want to follow that thread a little bit on respect. How do you respect Rob, and how do you see Rob respecting you? What does that look like to you when you say respect? Everybody has this sometimes a different, we go, oh yeah, respect. We know what that means, but it means different things to different people. So tell me what that looks like to you.
For me, I travel a lot for work, a lot. And I could be gone for weeks or a month or something else. Respect is, if I'm with, let's just say a lot of guys are on the team, I would never in a million years even imagine even flirting with the idea of flirting with somebody else or doing something else, because I respect Rob too much in my relationship with him and my home life that I guess it comes just down to respecting. If I respect myself, he'll respect me because he can trust that I can leave for a month and know that our marriage and a relationship is solid. Same thing. He's at home a month at a time, watching the dogs, taking care of the house, doing the laundry, making meals for himself, sitting in his office. Like, he doesn't have the stimulation. Could he stray and do something else and disrespect our relationship? Absolutely. But is he going to? Hopefully not. And hopefully that never happens, because he respects the foundation of his own, he respects his own integrity, and then he respects our relationship as well. So that, to me, that's where my respect comes in.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's strong. You got to have it. And I love, Linda, you've done it twice, and I think it's great that it comes back to personal accountability first, and the trust and security that, you know, he respects himself enough to respect the relationship and to protect that. And that's a good place to be.
Well, and I think I hear you also saying that you've made him feel safe in that you can be away for a month and maybe be on a team that is strong in the male makeup, and he doesn't have to worry that you are going to stray or that you are going to flirt, because you've given him that foundation of trust and stability. We have 14 pillars. We just talked about three of them. So there's 11 more. And I would love to know if you guys have that list in front of you or if it's accessible. So of the other 11 pillars, Rob, is there one of them that really stands out to you, one that resonates with you personally? And if so, why?
Yeah, last one, probably fun and humor. I mean, I try not to take anything too seriously. You know, I'm always kind of poking at her and joking, and we, you know, she's my buddy, man. So we definitely give it to each other, and you know, we just try to have fun. I mean, I think that's the most, you know, just like her parents play games. I mean, we have literally have a Google spreadsheet of Uno games that we've played, over 500 games and the scores. And so, you know, a lot of banter and a lot of talk on that. But
yeah.
So you're keeping track, huh? Yeah, right. Who's so do you know who's won more, Rob? Who's won more of those games?
He's dominating.
He's not ashamed.
It's constantly in competition. And that's the funny thing is like, which is fun. We have a sand beach volleyball court at our house. And we started playing volleyball when we moved to Los Angeles. And then now that we're here in Georgia, we brought that here. And it's so much fun now because when we're on the same team, like how we interact, or if we're on opposite teams and we're like, come on, Rob, right here, give it to me. And then like he'll spike it in my face. I'm like, what the hell, Rob? But it's just like we constantly give each other crap in the best way possible. And I think that's fun where it's not like, oh, you hurt me. You know, it's always like fun out there. Yeah. You know, it's just because when it's games, it's a game. Like if it was anybody else, would you be upset? But because it was your husband, now you're upset. And that's what happens, I think, in most relationships is they lose that fun. Yeah. They don't like pick on each other anymore.
That's a great example. What are some other ways you play together?
Between all of our businesses, I mean, like we had a boat charter business in Los Angeles. We had a 50-foot Sea Ray Sundancer. We ran that for 4 years. And wow. He has his captain license. I would crew. And then we'd run the business. We'd like hype up the customers. And we was a private charter business. And it's just, everything's play. I mean, even now it's like, I mean, with the horses, I mean, everything. Like it's just, it's a nice, we're always busy doing something, but like we have fun with it.
Yeah, it never feels like work because it's just, you know.
It always feels like work.
Well, that's work. Try to have fun.
Always work.
But you're having
fun work. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know how about bigger goal? So.
Well, yeah. I mean, even like pulling weeds and like doing the landscaping here, but we put a sound system outside, and then we'll just like all of a sudden, like I'll turn around and he's dancing and being silly, and it's like, oh, let's take a break from doing like this mundane project. Little things, again, back to the little things, you know, just sometimes bad dancing.
I got plenty of that.
Does a pillar stand out for you, Linda? Is there one that really resonates with you?
I just want to add a little point in there for about him. Selflessness stands, like, I can't stop getting past that one without saying how selfless Rob is. How with me, with his friends and his family, he's a half full cup kind of guy and puts everybody else before him. So I just want to compliment you on that one because I can't look at that without saying it because he's so giving.
He's a giver.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. No, it's nice to that you recognize it and say it. And, you know, that's part of that appreciation pillar is, you know, I just did another episode where on our platform and we talked about what do you do if you don't feel valued in the relationship, right? Because you're not hearing it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're able to do that freely is we all love to hear what we're good at and that we're valued and people are paying attention. I think that's critical. And I want to come back to the whole self thing. And I'd love to hear from each of you, Rob, maybe you could start. What's the one non-negotiable self-care practice that you engage in to give yourself what you need so you can show up best for Linda in your relationship?
You know, I think I need my me time a little bit. You know, I get to work in the morning and I do my thing, and I'm after that, I'm willing to do anything for anybody. especially her. I mean, I'm building a barn and I built a tack room and put up a fence and doing all this stuff for her, for the horse and all that. But I don't know. I just make it through the day and just do my things. And I don't think that there's anything specific that I absolutely have to do. I mean,
okay.
I do push how about every you? Other morning. That's about it.
Is there some, Linda, that you really need to have for yourself to feel good and sound, centered or balanced or able to show up in the best?
I have to go to the gym. I have to go to the gym. I have to go for a run. He complains that when we go on vacation, it's a trip, not a vacation, because I have to do activities. I have a lot of like energy. I like to go see things and do things. So for me, it's movement. I have to move. So now in the morning, every morning I'm gone to the gym, I go to the horse stable, then I come home, and then we work on our projects together. So while he has his time in his office to get his stuff done. So it's like he has quiet, he can do podcasts, make his phone calls without any interruptions. So it's kind of nice. He's like, you know, 4 or 5 hours of just him, and then I get to do my energy stuff. And then
she comes barreling in the house. I'm home.
Entertain me.
But you're recharged. You've had your downtime. You're ready for her when she walks in the door. I love it. So you guys have been married for a while, and I would love to hear, you know, after we've been married for a while, intimacy changes, but how have you kept it alive and well in your relationship?
Just try to make sure that the hard part for us is we get to work at like noon, and as you know, or 2 o'clock, you know, she's home from the gym, so she's sweaty. And then I'm outside getting ready to start working. And by 8, 9 o'clock, we're like, it's dinner. And then we put on a show and it's bedtime. But, you know, we find time to make sure that we're having that part of our relationship, you know, and make sure that that's not neglected.
We were at the Renaissance Festival this weekend, and they were throwing out whips, like leather knight, like,
right.
I don't know what that had to do with the Renaissance.
None. So me and my girl like, give us one. And so we're like, all our friends, we all got these like heavy duty whips. We're like, well, just kind of keep things interesting, you know, just like kind of laughing at things. I'm like, how funny. I'm like, just the weird stuff out there, but it's just kind of funny where you just, I don't know, you have fun with it with your friends. But that was really weird.
Yeah, try to have fun with it and be selfless. That's, you know, that's my motivation. That's my goal.
Sure. So, you know, if you guys think about, if you've been together, you guys work together, you do everything together, and obviously you've evolved and learned. But Rob, if you had to go back to your unmarried self and give yourself one piece of advice, put your hands on your shoulders and go, hey, here's the one thing you need to know. What would that be?
You know, it's more time together than you think it's going to be, even though, you know, we do everything together anyways. But I think if you think about a married couple, they go in and, you know, you go from dating to married, and it's like, oh, we spend a lot of time together. It's like, no. When you get married, all of a sudden it's really you two against the world. And so the friends that you used to party with and hang out with, they're gone. Like, that you see them on the weekends, maybe they're starting to have kids, and everybody's lives are really starting to evolve. And when you go from that dating life to married life, it's a lot more time together than you expect. So you better be with somebody who you can spend that kind of time with. I got a piece of advice from someone a long time ago, and it stuck out, and it doesn't always, you know, come forward when we need it to, but if it won't matter in 5 years, don't waste 5 minutes. And so some of the times that we fight about stuff, it's just like, dude, who cares? Like, why are we even spending any time on this? And so we try to use that, but a lot of times it, you know, it takes a little bit of button heads to get that, but you're going to spend a lot more time together, and you better like who you're with. All the other stuff doesn't matter if you don't have a good relationship and a good foundation.
Are you struggling to maintain the emotional and physical intimacy you once shared? Do you feel like you're spending more energy finding fault and tearing your partner down instead of magnifying their good and building them up? Don't worry, you're not alone. Many couples are struggling behind a forced smile and an inauthentic happiness. You feel drained, unheard, and more often than not, unappreciated. The good news is it's not too late to rekindle the flame and strengthen your bond. I'm offering a free relationship assessment call to help you take the first step towards revitalizing your relationship and reaching your own relationship nirvana. Whether you come alone or with your partner, I'm here to help you create the space for a more fulfilling and satisfying relationship. Don't wait any longer. Make the changes you need to thrive. Book your free call today at MatthewPHoffman.com/coaching. And let's get started on your journey to a kick-ass relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Linda? What advice would you give to your unmarried self about marriage and relationships?
I guess it's the same advice I had, which was never settle. I mean, I was dating someone before him, and we were in the Spanish Steps. Where is that? Italy?
Yeah.
I was in Italy. And I was like, wow, like we were looking at rings and doing everything else. And I'm like, if I'm with this guy, I'm settling. You know, and then I went back to the single thing for a couple little bit before I met Rob. And I think that's the biggest advice in general. I mean, Grant, I didn't settle. I'm just saying in general for people, like when you're single, like just don't settle with the guy that you're dating now because you don't want to start over. Because you're like, oh, I want marriage and kids or whatever else. Like, I just think just don't settle.
Good.
Knowing and understanding love languages is important. And Linda, I'm sure that you know what Rob's love language is. How does he like to receive love? And what do you do to support that?
Honestly, I'm not good at it. It's hard for me. So
it's a work in progress.
He doesn't like being called Rob. He wants a nickname. He's a nickname guy. It's hard for me to do it. And so I don't like the sweetie, the babe, or whatever else. Like, I literally call him Rob, and it drives him crazy. He wants some kind of cute, like, Kushabar, like some kind of cute name. But I cannot, it just doesn't come naturally to me. And he likes to hear the words, I'm sorry, versus any, like, I apologize. It can't be that. It has to be specifically, I'm sorry. It has to be certain ways. Like, his words to him of how he hears them is really what it is, and touch. So it's words and touch, that's his love language. But I just know I'm not good at not calling him Rob.
So words are important. He likes, and touch, physical touch.
But I think it's also important to note that he has told you what those things are.
Oh no, he didn't tell me. You can tell by the energy.
Oh, you can tell by the energy, you feel it.
Because if I ask him the question, his answer is, I don't know. So it just takes your own, like, what do you mean? What are the love languages? It's like, you know, the gifts, the touch, the words of affirmation, acts of kindness, stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that time.
Uh-huh. I didn't know those existed. It was a category. Like, he's like, I don't care. Like, so, but because just talking about with friends, I figured out that was his thing, just because you just realize when I keep calling you Rob and not something.
What does that respond? Yes, Linda?
Yeah.
Oh.
Every time. Hey, Rob.
Yes, Linda.
Yes, Linda.
I'm like, I like hearing my name. Like, I don't mind if you say Linda. Like, it just doesn't bother me. And to him, it's a big thing. So I just kind of learned what I feel are his love languages, because his answer is, I don't know what love language is.
Touch. Yeah, I get it.
Gotcha. How about for you, Rob? How does Linda like to receive love?
Foot massages every night on the couch.
Acts of service.
Acts of service.
I can ask or do anything if I got her feet in my hands. So it melts, so I know how to.
Good to know. That wouldn't work
that's
in our house.
That's a dangerous weapon right
that
there.
That doesn't work in our house at all, Rob. We don't have a 12-step process on how to give a little love.
Rub it.
Not us.
I might have to, Rob, on your email, I'm going to send you this 12-step process of how to give a proper foot rub so she can even be more butter in your hand. It works.
I'll tell you. Sleep. Okay.
I love it. That's great. Well, we, you know, have a concept that we call overflow thinking, and we believe that the goodness of life really starts in our relationship. And when you have a great relationship and you're pouring in and they're pouring into you, there's a lot of good, and that overflows into other areas of your life. How have you guys seen the goodness of your relationship overflow into other things that either you do together or you do individually?
I believe that 100%. I mean, when we're cranking, man, we feel unstoppable. I mean, we've started 4 businesses together that have gone from $0 to $1 million in revenue, 4 totally different industries. And when we're, you know, she's doing her strong suit and I'm doing my strong suit, we just click along. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's more friends around and there's just more laughs, and everything is so much better when we're, you know, in that groove together. So I totally believe in that.
Yeah. It's nice though, because we were able, our sacrifices together, which Rod talked about a little bit earlier, when we were younger and you're dating, we had friends, we went to party, we did everything else. Well, then Rob and I got together and we're like, we wanted to start a business together. So we started, we bought a building and we renovated it, and slowly friends went away because we were out on a Saturday night drinking or Friday night drinking because we wanted to get a wall put up, you know, and make this thing so I could run a gym. And it was interesting is the ebbs and flows of it, where it's like, okay, if we do this together, it's going to be better because we can have a business and then more friends come. And it's like, it's interesting who comes and goes when the hard stuff happens or the physical labor of things, because when you can't afford to hire someone to do it, you learn how to do it yourselves, which means a lot of trial and error, a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of just sweat and figuring it out. And I think us being together and creating things, and now to where we are today, and that we have people at our house 4 times a week playing volleyball or enjoying our backyard and everything we've built, it's interesting how us better together, like, we can make it through what other humans in our life cannot make it through, even on a friend level.
Sure. Yeah, so it's kind of that, the testing point is when the things get tough, you know, who sticks around and who doesn't, and the two of you are together through it, and so you're attracting others that have a similar commitment or are willing to kind of be in it with you. And I think that's important, not just for your relationship, but also for the test of others that are worthy and worthwhile of your time. It sounds like you guys mastered that together.
Yeah, it's been wild. I mean, in the times where I'm questioning my life decisions and, you know, why did I invent a product and go down this path? It's so hard. And maybe I'm hitting a little bit of a low haul, you know, spot. She's like gliding and she's right there to help bring me back up and get me through it. And it's gone the other way other times. I mean, she's just like, man, what's happening? I'm not getting jobs, or I'm not doing this, and questioning, you know, those decisions. And then maybe I'm on a high. And so, you know, we've always been there for each other to pull through, and it just seems like the time has always worked out perfect for us. So it's been good.
So what do you do to help each other pull through? That actually led right into my next question, is that when you have to go through challenging times or make difficult decisions, as you have with starting businesses. And I know, you know, you, Linda, are a professional stuntwoman. And so, you know, getting jobs and having work, when you have to really go through those challenges, how do you approach them? How do you approach them together?
Rob gave me some good advice, because when I start leveling up and then you're not as good at whatever skill that is or whatever it is, when you start leveling up, it gets harder because you're changing. And some of those advice of like just being there to sort of like, you're not, if it was easy, everyone would do it. I mean, that's just, it's hard enough to be a person in my industry as it is, but let alone being a successful person in this industry. So it's a mental thing, and it's Hollywood. It's a mental game too, on top of everything else. You need someone else to be like, no, it's hard right now but you're better than you were last week. You're better than you were last month, or whatever it's going to be. And so just those positive words of affirmation can go a really long way. And I do that to him when he's going through a hard time of like, why am I doing this? And I'll just give him a lot of the things he says to me, because you're actually really good at pulling it out and like saying those things and keeping it, might give me a level head. And I use those things back to you, where it's like, you're great at this, you're great at this, you're great at this, you're great at this. And it's just a happy sandwich of great information.
You're really getting each other out of that negative mindset.
Yeah.
You're good doing that for each other.
Yeah.
when it's timely.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just hit, you're focused in on one thing not going right, even though you've heard no 1,000 times. It's just like, you just want to throw in the towel. It's like, no. Sometimes you just need a day to just go lay in bed and watch TV and say, screw it, come back tomorrow. And
that's true, too. Yeah.
So, Rob, what's the one thing that Linda does that just puts the biggest smile on your face or just lights you up?
You know, I'm not really great at receiving compliments, but she's good at making sure that I know that, you know, I mean, it's 90 degrees outside. I have shorts on and no shirt and I'm dripping in sweat and just working my butt off to build this thing, you know, whatever we're building. And she just knows to say, you know, thanks. Hey, I'm making dinner. Just don't worry about it. You know, she just kind of helps and knows to take care of some stuff that I don't want to have to think about. And so she's always makes me feel like she appreciates all the work that I put in. So.
Nice.
Gotcha. And Linda, what about for you? What's something that Rob does that just puts the biggest smile on your face?
He shows up for me. Time is, I think, people's greatest asset or that's worth the most. And for him to show up at 7 a.m. in 20 degree weather to watch me at a horse show that he had no clue what's going on in, like, is a jumper show. So it's like the obstacle course is based on time and you go for speed and he's watching these things. Like, he has no clue what's going on. But the fact that he would show up for me in the most early hours, inclement weather, he'll be there. And I think, hey, I needed something. I was hours away and he'd hop in the car and bring me that item. Like, he does that constantly. He just keeps showing up for me, and that means the most to me that I can rely on him.
That's great.
They know I love the dishwasher.
Ah, that too.
Ooh, that's my favorite, by the way.
Now you're talking. Yeah. I never do it right.
Yes, how's your dishwasher loading?
It's one of the things I dislike the most. And so when he does that for me, I'm just like, yes, thank you.
She can't go to, this woman next to me cannot go to bed if there's clean dishes in the dishwasher. Because she's thinking, I don't want to come out here and face that in the morning.
See it tomorrow.
So if she opens up, she goes, oh, you unloaded the dishwasher? Yeah. I mean, that's excitement, right?
That's nice. It's all the little things that are just like the best.
Pay attention to detail. It matters. No doubt. Yeah.
Well, you guys have been so much fun. Thank you so much for your authenticity, for your contribution. You've got some really great things going on in your relationship. So keep up the amazing work.
It's great. If people want to learn more about you or find you or connect with you and learn more about what you're doing, where should they go?
For Instagram, for me, it's at Linda K. Fit, LindaKFit.
Great. And how about for you, Rob?
Probably just my Go Tylus or Million Dollar Collar. I don't post on social media.
He's bad at his posting. He'll post something. I'll be like, why'd you post that?
So Rob, what is your favorite nickname? I was going to say Rowdy Rob, and I'm trying to think of a good one. I don't know. So what is one of your favorite nicknames that someone's called you?
Kess is usually, it's the first four letters of my last name. So a lot of my friends call me Kess, but it'd be Kess. Sometimes.
When we're playing volleyball and I go, Robbie, and he's like, did you just call me Robbie?
Well, I call her Burley, Kim Burley, and I've shortened it to Burley. And so that's my nickname for her.
Do you have a nickname? Yeah.
For him? Not really. Sometimes I'll call him Maddie, which I don't think he really likes because I think people from his childhood, I think your family, a lot of your family called you
My family called me Maddie Pan.
Oh, Maddie Pan.
So that was like the term of endearment. When I was a little kid, I hated it, but now I don't mind it so much. But
No other nickname? You just go by his name?
Or I do use endearments, though. I will say bang, you know, maybe whatever.
Okay.
Your hotness. You know, yeah. I like that one.
I like that.
I'm allowed to say cute. He cute, says cute is a four-letter word. It's what my grandmother would say. Yeah,
cute and handsome. No, hey, Rob, no guy likes to be cute or handsome. We want to be hot.
That's right. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, your hotness. He just might respond to that one. Guys, it's been so much fun. Thanks for showing up and coming out. And we're so glad that you joined us here today. We look forward to sharing these nuggets with other people.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.